In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. So one day after a church service, a parishioner approached her Episcopal priest in tears, and she told the priest that her cat of 20 years had recently passed. And she was obviously very upset, and she asked if the church would offer a memorial service for her cat. And the priest responded, "I'm so sorry that you've lost your cat, but we typically don't do funerals for pets in the Episcopal Church. Have you tried the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church down the street?" And the woman responded, "Well, I'm a cradle Episcopalian, and I'd really, really love that cat. And I was going to make a $1 million donation in his memory." And the priest responded, "Well, wait a second, hold on. You didn't tell me your cat was an Episcopalian." As we know, people don't always see eye to eye on certain issues, even in the church. This is one of the reasons that there's over 40,000 different Christian denominations today. And this is really nothing new. In the early church, there were plenty of conflicts within the various Christian communities. In fact, one of the pervasive themes throughout Paul's letter to the Ephesians is unity. Paul is constantly inviting those early Christians to put their differences aside and to get along with each other. And in today's appointed lesson from Ephesians, Paul continues to stress this theme by reminding the early Christians of Ephesus and us today of our primary identity, who we really are, what we were created for, our very purpose. And I want to share with you a slightly different translation from today's passage from Eugene Peterson's The Message, because I really feel like Peterson gets at the heart of what Paul is talking about. "Long before God laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son." So Paul uses the powerful imagery of adoption to describe our relationship with God. And I think it's important to note that the practices and policies of adoption when Paul was writing this looked a bit different than they do today. For example, in ancient Rome, there was a term called the patria potestas, which was Latin for power of the father. And in this system, a Roman son never came of age. No matter how old he was still under the absolute control of the father. So in the ancient Roman adoption process, a person had to pass from one patria potestas to another. He had to pass out of the possession and control of one father into the possession and control of another. And there were really three main consequences of Roman adoption. First, the adopted person lost all rights once held in his old family, and in return, gained all the rights of a legitimate son in his new family. In other words, in the most binding and legal sense, the adoptee gained a new father, a new patria potestas. Secondly, according to Roman law, the old life of the adopted person was completely wiped away. All former debts were canceled, and the adoptee was considered a new person entering into a brand new life totally unaffected by his past. Finally, the adoptee became an heir to his father's estate. Even if later on down the line, biological children were born, it did not affect the adoptee's rights. He would always be considered a co-heir. And this is exactly what we hear in today's lesson from Ephesians, that once we were enslaved to our mistakes, to our missteps of the past, but God has completely wiped away our old life and has given us a brand new one with Him. Once we were oppressed by our anxieties and by our fears, but God, in His abundant love and grace, has adopted us as His sons and daughters and made us heirs of His kingdom. In other words, God didn't wait for us to get our acts together and choose Him. Instead, He first chose us and came to us in the person of Jesus to show us His love and to adopt us into His family. Now, as we know, this concept is not an easy concept. Everything around us, everything outside these doors tells us the opposite, that something, that the way to be loved and to be accepted has to be earned. That first we have to do something. We have to be pleasing to others. We have to do something that makes us different and unique and worthy. And then and only then will be accepted and loved by God. But Paul knew firsthand that God's grace comes to us exactly when we don't deserve it. And it comes to us through God's doing, not through anything that we do. You see, Christianity at its very core is anything but religious. And I know that sounds really strange because here we are sitting together in a church, in a religious service. But if you look up the word religion, if you Google religion, what you'll find is that the definitions are all about us, about our systems of worship, our systems of prayer and belief, the kinds of things that we do to seek out God. And all of these things are perfectly good and right things for us to do. But the story of the Bible, the story of our salvation, is not the story of us choosing God, but the story of God choosing us, offering us His forgiveness, His acceptance, and His love. In today's letter to the Ephesians, we are reminded of our true identity, which is found in Christ, who has already taken care of our sins and the sins of the whole world. And this isn't to say that we have nothing left to do, that we're perfect somehow. Far from it. We're never going to get all things right on this side of heaven. The truth is, we're all fallen. We're all broken people. But the good news found in today's lesson reminds us that we have been forgiven, redeemed, and reconciled to God. In her book, The Whisper Test, author Marianne Bird describes a very powerful moment in her childhood. This is what she writes. "I grew up knowing I was different, and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate. When I started school, my classmates made it very clear how I looked to them, this little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, and lopsided teeth. When my classmates asked me, 'What happened to your lip?' I tell them that I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that nobody outside my family could ever love me. Then there was this teacher a teacher we all loved in the second grade named Mrs. Leonard. And every year we had this hearing test, and Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everybody in the class. And finally, it was my turn. I knew from past years, as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher would sit at her desk and she would whisper something to us, and we would have to repeat it back. Something like, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" I waited for the words. God must have put in her mouth those seven words that changed my life forever. Mrs. Leonard didn't say, "The sky is blue," or "Do you have new shoes?" Instead, what she whispered was, "I wish you were my little girl." The gospel, the good news, is that God whispers to you and to me today, "You are my child, my chosen, and I love you and accept you just as you are." When we remember who we really are, when we remember that we are God's chosen and beloved children, with God's grace, our entire outlook on life will begin to change. Because when we see ourselves in this new and different light, we will also come to see others in that same light as well. During the dark days of the apartheid regime in South Africa, Archbishop Desmond Tutu was speaking to a group of white Afrikaner businessmen, and this is what he said: "My fervent wish for you is that one day you will come to know just how much God loves you. For when you comprehend that, you will be able to see just how much God loves other people as well." God loves all of us equally without limit, including those we don't like, those we disagree with, those who don't like us. God loves those on the inside of the church and those on the outside of the church. God's love is ceaseless, shameless, always inclusive, and no one is ever left out except those who refuse to enter. So today, may we remember and embrace our true identity. And with God's grace, may we reach out to others with the same love that we've already received and show them and remind them of their true identity, God's chosen and beloved children. Amen.